The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian, and I have assembled with me together today a motley crew of fun and friendly individuals. Going around the room, sort of to my right, counterclockwise, if you will, I have Eric.
I wasn't told I was supposed to wear motley today.
Well, it works.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I see motley in that shirt. I don't know. What does the shirt actually have on it there?
It's one of the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz, and it's carrying a basket full of cupcakes.
Well, what a delightful... Cupcakes or muffins?
Cupcakes, because it's by the brand Johnny Cupcakes.
Oh, well, all right.
It's not called Johnny Muffins.
That's some brand some buzz marketing for them.
Yes.
Good for them. And, of course, Jeff's there.
How's it going, everybody? I brought headphones.
You did? Those are nice headphones.
Thank you. It was a birthday present.
Who makes those?
Sennheiser.
Oh, those are Sennheiser. Those are old school cans. Those are nice.
Yeah, they're very nice, and they make your head extra warm because they're those closed ear ones.
Oh, I hate that.
Make your ears sweat.
That's why I like earbuds almost. And over to my back left shoulder, Pat.
What's going on?
And special guest, not seen or heard, I should say, with us since back in the Media Mess days, Melody.
Hi.
That's Melody, Jeff's wife.
That's right. We are wed.
My sister-in-law?
Yes.
I've never said that. That's kind of crazy. It is awesome, though, because I've known Melody not longer than Jeff, certainly.
Actually, no, I think you have.
Have I?
Yes.
Well, Melody and I were students at UCF together, and then, she came into the family.
Although,
through hook and crook.
A long time ago, there was a rumor that I always want to ask you about.
What was that?
A long time ago, when you first met Melody, I think you and someone had deemed her good breeding stock.
Did I? So I know Hope. I said that about Hope.
It's like,
this is all very inside.
Like, you know, if you and Jeff don't ever work out, maybe you could be the one to carry
did
a...
Melody, did I say that? I did.
Ooh!
Shocking that a pittered would think that Melody is an amazing woman.
It's like, so no matter what, she was going to end up with our DNA somehow.
Wow. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are here to discuss all kinds of geeky fun things. If you've never listened to Flame On before...
Shame on you.
Well, yeah, shame on you, of course. But, you know, this is a very unique occasion because most of the people here are also from our earlier show, Media Mess.
The weekly... Monthly, bi-weekly,
every so often.
Whenever we could all cram into Brian's old office, Media Mess.
Yes.
So we're going to do more of that because Flame On is a lot like the Media Mess, really.
It's the next it's the continuation.
Slightly
the
gayer version.
Slightly.
Depending on who's here, yeah.
Yeah.
Oral will be joining us, we think, in a bit. We're waiting to see if the Transmat tube brings him to us. It's been clogged up recently with... Ants, actually. So,
is that his new boyfriend's name, Transmat?
Actually.
Wow.
That's kind of funny. Not true, but almost.
Okay.
So, speaking of ants, I that was a very awful plug. But I did try to bring in this conversation that we want to start with, which is about the movie Ant-Man.
Hey, that came out this weekend.
The Ant-Man. Actually, I think it's just Ant-Man, right?
Yeah, it's...
So, if you've been living under a rock, because you're an ant, then you may have not heard about...
Patrick the Starfish.
Oh, well, that's true. He lives in a rock. Oh, and
yeah,
that's the lyric,
yeah,
isn't
true.
It? So Ant-Man is the new Marvel movie, Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not the Avengers. It's not Iron Man, Captain America. It's very much kind of like Guardians, and it's a sort of a lesser-known property if you've never read a comic book.
I was going to say, it's definitely not like Guardians in the complete separation of this from everything else. They really tried to make sure there was some connective tissue to the rest of the
MCU. We'll get
MCU.
To that. We'll get to that. But certainly, you could go into this movie not being a big Marvel movies fan and still enjoy it, I think. You would just be like, wait, who's that guy? What's up? So it is just opening this weekend while we're recording this. Several, in fact, you know, all of us in this room have seen it.
It's on track to be the second lowest winning box office weekend for Marvel.
So what was the first lowest?
Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
Oh, okay.
That's not a good sign. I mean, put it this way. Ant-Man does not have to be a big budget thing. I think most analysts said it would be low.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that it's winning is still a good, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's still winning the box office.
Overall, though, it's a very Marvel movie in the sense that it is very much funny. It's very much rooted in the Marvel comic book universe, universes, we should say.
Yeah.
It is an entertaining movie. If you don't like superheroes, there's sort of a superhero or superheroes in it, but it's not a typical superhero movie.
It's very much, you can tell too, like Marvel even said, this was a movie that was supposed to come out with a different director and probably a different cast way back during the first phase of films.
Right.
Back Iron Man 1 and all those introductory movies. That's when they were originally going to release this. And it's just had a rough go, but they got all the pieces put together. They got a good director. They got a good cast. And they put out what they thought is as good of a movie as they could hope for.
So
kind of pass it along to Civil War.
What we talked a little bit about the previous director, Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of the end of the movie and certain parts of the beginning, I still saw his DNA, if you will.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was still the executive producer.
Well,
he still got a story credit. He got a story by
story credit. Yeah. Like a lot of him is still in this movie. He, of course, if you don't know, did the TV show Spaced with Simon Pegg.
And
Nick Frost.
Nick and he did Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
Hot Fuzz.
Yep. Some great movies. Most recently, he did...
World's End?
Scott Pilgrim.
Most recently,
I think
it was World's
you're
End.
Right, you're right. You're right. Yeah. But I mean, people would... If you didn't get into the British stuff, like, Scott Pilgrim is probably what you've heard of.
Yeah.
That was his big thing. So, like, he was the original guy. They got rid of him. He left for whatever reason, you know.
Creative differences.
Peyton Reed came in.
Peyton Reed from Bring It On, and what was the one with Ewan McGregor and Reese, or not, what the heck is her name? Bridget Jones.
Oh, Down with Love.
Down with Love.
He did Down with Love.
Peyton Reed also did Down with Love.
That was a fun movie, too.
I love that movie.
He's got a good, playful directing sense.
Yeah.
And he's got he knows how to do comedy.
And this movie, more so, I think, than the other Marvel movies, did have a real strong sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it was a laugh a minute. It really isn't a comedy, necessarily. But the humor is front and center.
This was, I'll say, I mean, Guardians, because of, what's his name, the director?
Oh,
James
Gunn. Yeah.
He's always got a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like, in a serious moment. This one was definitely more of a quick cut. This is a really intense battle, like especially at the end with, you know, with a train element.
Oh, the train thing.
And that was like cut to what you see as a full-size person, and it was hilarious.
Seriously, that was probably the highlight of the film for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved a lot of it. It was very funny. I heard a lot of us laughing. I know I actually was kind of wondering what Pat's reaction was going to be, and he actually laughed more than I thought.
It was good.
Really? You were laughing a
tonight,
lot.
Tonight, the role of Jared will be played by Pat.
You were laughing a lot. I was like...
No, I thought it was fun. I mean, I really didn't care. They did a good job. That's the one thing that Marvel tends to do well is make me actually care about properties that I don't normally care about or that I know about. I'm an X-Men fan. The Avengers movies, they were okay. And I mean, in the sense of... I mean, they were good movies. I liked the characters. The individual movies, like, I really can't stand Iron Man. So Iron Man 3, I saw 1 and 3. I could care less. I really couldn't care less about those movies. But in the overarching story, it works. For Ant-Man, for Guardians, I never read any of those comics. I liked them. Although, there were three things about Ant-Man that I thoroughly enjoyed. First being the late 90s, early 2000 callbacks and all of those jokes, kind of throwing some of those references in. Because so many of the younger kids have no fucking clue about that at all. Like, we're now starting to get to the age where our parents were with those movies where it's like the adult jokes and then the kids jokes. we're crossing that line into that territory now. But then I also love the fact that it reminded me of two movies that I really liked during my childhood. Mrs. Doubtfire, because I felt like the whole you can't see your kids, you know.
Oh, wow.
Just yeah. Substitute the Ant-Man costume for drag. And
I like that reference.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it made it cute, you know, yeah. With the little sassy little girl. Like, you know, it felt like that. And then Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I asked him in the beginning, I'm like, is this about a shrink ray? Because that's a little too familiar there.
When he first went underground with all the ants, I was like, or you're running through, yes. You know, falling through all the different things. I was like, I really just feel like when they were running through the blades of grass and you had all the, it really evoked those two things. And then with all those extra little references, I thought it was really kind of cool for our age bracket. Mm-hmm. It really kind of targeted us as like the recipients of those jokes.
I did like how, especially when he was small, there was this kind of kinetic energy. Like, they didn't really explain how he was so super nimble.
Yeah.
But it worked because it never kind of dragged it out. It was always mm-hmm. like, when he shrunk, everything is quick.
Hyperkinetic.
Yeah, and it's really going, it's going fast, and he's bouncing around. And it's like, that's good. It makes it never get kind of bogged down in, oh, this big, giant world.
The most they did was in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So there will be spoilers, by the way. I mean, you know, just be prepared. If you haven't seen the movie, you don't care, don't worry about it. If you care, come back or skip ahead a little bit. But yeah, the bathtub scene was the only point where they're like,
the trial by water.
Yeah, and then the ant stuff a little bit with discovering different types of ants. That's the one thing that surprised me is the fact that they actually brought in a lot of maybe questionable, biology, but you know, whatever the study of ants are. I don't know what that is.
There's no such thing as crazy ants?
Well, I'm not even saying that as much as just the electric thing. And there were just some things where I'm like, all right, that might be true. I don't know. I don't think so.
Fire
right.
ants.
I have to believe it.
Fire ants that send to make geometry. Like, it's yeah. like, all right, okay.
They are the Green Lantern expression in the Marvel Universe. Fire ants become what you will them to yeah. be.
And then the whole quantum thing was a little ridiculous. I mean, that's whatever. Like,
oh, sure. If Interstellar can do it, why can't they do it?
Listen, I didn't say I like Interstellar doing it either, but
you know,
it was...
I feel like it's a Marvel thing, though. They totally. Kinda, they have to leave this whole part where it's questionable, and you have to believe it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't
just
matter what
it.
You know. You have to believe it.
Well, tying into Marvel, it's like Janet Pym has definitely been shunted off to the Microverse before.
I liked how they did the we haven't cast this role yet, so she's wearing a mask. Picture of them on the visor of the hat is obscuring her face.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. Oh, we just haven't cast her yet.
Yeah. But, I mean, they certainly, you know, again, spoilers, they certainly leave the door wide open
oh, yeah.
for her to come back somehow from the Microverse because, you know, Hank, played by Michael Douglas, you know, is very much like, ooh, so wait, you could go to the quantum world? Ooh, you know, like
so
just
wait,
scheming
that,
and planning.
Although he didn't actually know how to get back because, spoilers, you know, Scott goes down there and then doesn't remember how he gets back. So
yeah, but I mean, the fact that he did means that
it's
you know.
Not the end of the road.
And then Pat, you were telling me I didn't notice this.
I was going to say first off, she's Janet Van Dyne.
No, they got married. They got married.
But I mean, in the credits, she's credited as Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Well,
of course.
And Hope takes her last name in the movie.
You're right.
As well.
You're absolutely yeah. right.
Although they never say Hope Van Dyne, but she is Hope Van Dyne yeah. in the credits as well. Did any of you guys see the wasp wings when he was coming back out? Or when he was going... One of the ways in or out...
I did not at all.
There were wasp wings in there.
I had wondered if they were going to do that. Because that was the one thing I can say that I didn't like about it. I felt like a lot of things were a bit obvious. Like the Marvel thing where the whole family dynamic, how it's a little too ooey-gooey.
Yeah,
and the whole bad guy thing, he's very generic, which I know that was
oh,
a big
God.
And the actor
it.
Is above that. Corey Stoll can put in a good performance.
Yeah.
Yes, I
yeah,
agree.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's the Marvel is... Oh, actually, no, that's not because Marvel usually, I mean, sometimes gives their villains good chunks. But,
yeah.
like, Ronan was pretty middle of the road.
I agree.
The Yellow Jacket, middle of the road. I mean, so it's not out yeah. of the realm of possibility.
I think it also kind of... it kind of gave away the story, like what's to come. Also,
yeah.
you know, they did too many broad, big hints as to, hey, this is what the next movie's going to be about, or this is where the story's going. There's no surprises there. I think that was the only thing I didn't like about it.
Iron Man 2 suffered from that too. It was
yes.
the everybody agreed after you watched Iron Man 2. It was like this is basically just the, oh well, this is what's coming in Avengers. Not this is a good movie in its own right. It's,
right.
This is all what's coming.
So specifically, you're talking about the fact. I mean, one thing. That he encounters the Falcon at the Avengers headquarters
right.
and totally brings in that whole thing. And even if you don't stay for the end credits stuff, you definitely see the writing on the wall there.
Right.
Yes.
Although Falcon knows a guy.
There are two end credits sequences. There's it was mid credits and end credits.
Yeah. Mid credits was the reveal of Hope getting her own wasp suit.
Shocking.
Yes. Yeah. The end credits, probably just a scene taken directly out of Civil War.
In fact, it was a daily from Civil War.
There you go.
Yeah. That just references Ant-Man. Doesn't show him in any way, shape, or form. But specifically, so that we didn't like the villain, it was kind of paint by numbers. Did you guys like
him? I didn't like him. Just,
I mean, it was just a typical origin story villain.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Hank, actually, very much like Iron Man's. What's his name? Stain. Obadiah Stain.
Oh, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, kind of that business guy who takes everything over and wants to do more with the company than the predecessor. And
wants to rule the world.
Just becomes the evil version of the hero.
I did love the talk because, you know, in the new Avengers stuff, especially with when Hank Pym has been trying to be made relevant, there is always a lot of shit-talking between Hank and Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. I like that Pym just carries this deep grudge of all Starks.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, that cutesy little Iron Man suit? That's not real tech. Like, man, talking
if
shit.
If only you had Reed Richards in there in the mix, and it would be just perfect.
Who's Reed Richards?
He doesn't exist in this universe.
He doesn't, actually.
No. But we do know somebody that climbs walls.
Oh, yeah, I love
swings
that.
And, yeah.
That was lovely. Yeah. Little Spider-Man reference if you caught that with the journalist. I did like the way they did the whole story, the backstory, like, you know, oh, this happened, and the guy's narrating and puts it in the mouths of the different people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Michael Pena.
That was, I think the side characters were one of the most enjoyable parts of the entire movie.
They were really
even
funny.
T.I. T.I. was.
Who's T.I.?
Yes, even
the,
T.I.
The black guy.
Oh.
He's a rapper.
Oh.
Oh,
Texas Instruments? Is that what he's short
yes.
for?
He yes. makes great calculators.
We went through this 2 weeks ago in the comics one. T.I. got referenced in that as well.
Oh, Lord.
You remember that Blurred Line song?
Yeah.
He was one of the guys in that song.
Oh.
He's the one who started rapping.
Okay.
There you go. You've listened to T.I.
I have.
Oh,
Jesus. Not the stupid air horn. What about Janet? We like Janet. I think that was...
Hope?
Yeah. Hope. God. And I kept thinking she was Janet the whole time. I'm like, this is Janet. This is Janet. It's not
Janet.
Well,
I mean, had Janet's haircut. Had
everything. Yeah. Everything.
Had
so,
Bob for days.
She borrowed it from Claire from Jurassic World. She went to the same hairstylist.
Bob is back.
Although it did not get nearly as wavy. Maybe because it wasn't in a jungle theme. Didn't get nearly as wavy by the end.
She had far more sensible shoes, too.
She did.
Now, that is interesting because we looked this up. Pat actually looked it up on the way home last night. Hope is from, what, MC2?
Yeah, the alternate. I forget what universe number they called it, but it was her, and they have a son. So it was twins. It was Hope and
Change.
I think Hank Pym Jr. I think so. She goes by Red Queen, that's her thing, and she apparently was a bit crazy and evil and tried to kill Cassie Lang they weren't part of the Avengers. Cassie Lang kind of took that role from Scott in that progression. So they apparently try to kill them and have the Revengers, and she tries to blow up the new Avengers mansion and some shit like that. It was a very short Wikipedia entry, so apparently she didn't do that much. But she was brought in 1999, so she's not.
But there's precedent.
There's precedent.
Yeah, there's precedent.
It wasn't just a made up character because in the comics, you know, Janet and Hank are still very active. Well, relatively, kind of. Yeah.
Maybe?
So now, not anymore. We'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll shift that over.
Yeah.
Although the main Ant-Man book right now is Scott Lang.
I was going to say, when we get to the end of Secret Wars, I don't think they're going to be all that relevant at the beginning.
Probably not.
That was, I know Oral would disagree, but that was one of the nicer reemergences of an Avenger when they did that whole book, the miniseries with Scarlet Witch, the more recent one with...
Children's Crusade?
Yeah. That's when Scott Lang got brought back.
Yes, that's right. They did.
Because he was dead during Bendis' run.
They did kill him off, yeah.
Yes, pretty badly, too.
Because was Cassie alive? Because that's what
when Cassie gets killed.
Oh, yeah. Because that's what I've read.
But they brought Cassie back, too. Now she's de-aged a bit. Like, she's younger.
Oh, so she's not, like, early 20s?
No, it's weird. Avenger? In the Ant-Man book, she's, like, teenager. Like, early to mid-teen.
They still call her Stature?
Well, not in this book, no. I think they're just pretending that didn't happen. I don't know. It's weird. Huh. It's very much definitely timed for the movie, although it came out a few months early. And so she's just like a kid that he's trying to look out for, just like the movie. Again, they're lining things up. But yeah, stature, she was definitely not that young. What else about the movie did we like? Anything else exciting? I mean, it was good. I think the big takeaway is if you were hesitant because you were not sure if it would be, and I know there was a lot of people who were hesitant, and there were some people who were reviewers who weren't very happy with it. It's good. It's very much in line with a lot of the movies. Just a little more funny and it's, not as superhero, more heist.
I think it goes back to like Marvel at this point has not done necessarily any bad movies.
Right.
They've done some it's perfectly fine movies. And they've done some great movies. But like they've never actually like dropped the ball yet.
Yeah. No, and a lot of people thought this was the one.
Right. They thought this was gonna be the one that finally just shat the bed just because of all the trouble getting this made.
Right.
You know what? It gave me what I expected. I expected it to be funny because of Paul Rudd. It actually was funnier than I expected. So it gave me what I wanted to see.
We didn't talk about Paul Rudd much. I mean, he has been in funnier roles.
Yes.
But as Scott Lang, I mean, Scott Lang is kind of an everyman in a sense, and he was a criminal. Like, they kept to his origins very faithfully. But, I mean, he plays a great Scott Lang. And now when I read Scott Lang, guess who I'm going to think of?
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah. He still has comedy face.
Oh, yeah.
But he got Chris Pratt's body.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Definitely got more in shape for this, as most Marvel people do.
The very least, if you're an actor and you want to get into a Marvel movie, the one takeaway is, hey, you'll get in shape for it.
Leave it to Marvel to turn comedians into leading men that everybody wants to see.
Well, oh, man, Jim Carrey missed the boat.
He did. There's still time. He could be something.
No, he's too old. No, his ship has sailed.
Withered a bit.
Oh.
Well, that's what Chris Pratt said, because I think somebody asked him about having to get in shape and, you know, between his chubbier days and now, and he goes, if somebody's going to pay you millions of dollars to be in shape, I'll be in the gym.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I mean, even though,
very
like,
quickly.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Chris Evans was in shape already.
Yeah.
But he was definitely much more comedic actor before Captain America.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he was
definitely on the way to being like Jim Carrey. Not Jim Carrey, but like kind of Robert Downey Jr. level snark.
Yeah. Right.
Always
had
the good snark down.
I don't think he was going that direction necessarily. I feel like Chris Pratt and Paul Rudd were more into that established comedic roles.
Yeah.
As opposed to Chris Evans, who was still kind of up and coming. And I think this kind of brought him out more, even though he had those really funny roles in the past.
What was that one comic movie he did before that?
Not
that was the
he did Fantastic Four.
After that, it was where they were
like mutants, kind of sort of.
No, they were assassins, and they got like it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in it.
Oh,
Zoe Saldana.
I have that.
That was a comic book.
Yeah,
as
you're
well.
Right. It was something seven.
No,
six?
That was not the one with they had some sort of secret. Super Sense or something?
No. Don't bring that one up.
Okay,
that was,
I'm bring
like
that one
that
up.
One.
Oh,
that was terrible. There was another novel. One, though. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. It was a graphic novel.
But he did the whole kind of, he was doing like a dance sequence and he was being all funny. But he was still, you know, action. But he was just a comic relief. And that's why, like, when they first cast him as Captain America, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Marvel taking a chance.
No one really got that. So let's move on because I think we talked enough about Ant-Man. Now, SDCC was last week as we're recording this.
And by now, everything has leaked.
Everything has leaked.
And everyone's pissed.
Well, DC's not everybody. Pissed. DC's pissed.
Warner Brothers.
Let's start with DC because that's probably the bigger bunch of announcements, I think. They had new trailers for Superman versus Batman, or whatever that's called. Batman versus
Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Sounds like the worst legal case ever.
Yeah, really. The Losers is the name of the Chris Evans.
There you go.
Graphic novel. So there's also so let's start there. Did you guys? I mean, I certainly was not excited. I'm very hesitant about that movie. Would you say that
Batman v Superman?
Yeah, yeah. Was the new trailer with showing Wonder Woman, with showing Lex Luthor, giving a little bit more of the info about Batman and why he's pissed at Superman? Did all of that sort of satisfy you and go, oh, all right?
No.
If anything, it just reinforced how crazy it is, and I've said this before, that during the comic book years of like the late 90s and before that, Marvel was always the dour, serious one for the longest time, and in DC they really elevated their heroes, and like these guys are celebrated. And
right.
In the movies, they're doing the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. DC is just so damn depressing.
It is. I agree. Joyless.
It's too dark.
And I mean,
yeah, I don't
even
like
if
it.
Marvel goes a little more serious like they did in Avengers.
Or Daredevil.
Yeah. Or Daredevil,
and,
yeah.
And then they'll bounce back with an Ant-Man, you know.
And
I don't think DC has a comedic movie
That was Green Lantern, and it didn't do well.
Yeah, but that wasn't intentionally funny.
Well, no, that's apparently what caused the edict to not have comedy movies, because Green Lantern was their kind of jovial movie, and it bombed.
Which actually, thank goodness it did, because now we get Ryan Reynolds back for Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a suit.
Yes.
I don't care.
It's not like you can see him. It's not like he's going to have washboard abs.
He does for the set photos. Set photos are enough.
I haven't seen these. So,
and listen, we had him in Wolverine Origins, and that did not go well.
No,
well,
let's not talk about that.
They sewed his mouth shut.
If you look at movies like Days of Future Past, First Class, some of the other X-Men movies, they're not super ponderous. Like, they have some pretty fun moments. They're not comedies. They're not even what I would say the Marvel is doing. But, like, compared to Superman, Man of Steel, and compared to the Batman movies.
Wait,
like,
you're referencing the X-Men movies?
Yeah, as a contrast. So, because they're not made by Marvel, right?
No.
So I'm saying superhero movies can work. And I'm surprised that DC, even with the Green Lantern thing, wouldn't look to those and go, well, look, it doesn't have to be the Marvel formula. It can be something else.
Could you put it all on Goyer, since he's always, like, the main
Absolutely.
Writer?
Absolutely. I have said this on several shows. David Goyer is the reason that they keep writing it dark. I mean, his fingerprints are all over this stuff. And Snyder, too. I mean, he's a...
But, I mean, all the Batman movies were dark.
And they were good.
So well.
Nolan, and I would never blame Nolan. We've talked about this. I would never blame him.
But the difference is, Batman can be dark.
Right.
Yeah, Superman's not supposed to
Superman
be dark.
Shouldn't be dark. And right. with the X-Men movies, they're dark in tone for the most part, but they're not sepia.
You're not literally light. Yeah.
Yeah, you have color. You have brightness in the movies. You have Halle Berry trying to crack a joke at Storm. Doesn't work.
Like, well, I feel like even the X-Men, they can kind of make fun of themselves. And that's what they always do, whether they're a part of Marvel or not. But DC can't seem to do that.
Exactly.
Wolverine was throwing one-liners in the first movie. I mean, Singer kind of set the tone of, serious. It's not serious. It's more realistic.
Right.
Like, we're not going to run around in spandex and yellow suits.
Sure.
We're going to run around in typical kind of leather, because it just makes more sense.
Now, while we're talking about this, of course, I do want to bring up X-Men Apocalypse, because as many of us have noticed and seen, the Apocalypse rendition
he's
not very tall. Now, that could be something that changes, like his stature can change. But there is the
I'm feeling short today.
There is a popular meme going around that he looks like
Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze from
I can
Power
show
Rangers.
You proof. I have a little group chat going. As soon as they released the photo on my little group chat with my friends around the country,
I
was like, wait a minute, this bitch looks familiar. Pulled up a picture of Ivan Ooze. There it is.
Well, so, and what's so shocking, too, is Jared, our very own Jared, who we could tell you he's even here. No, he's not.
Hi, Jared.
I love Jared.
Hi, I'm here. How you doing?
There you go. So Jared actually did a little photoshopping on the actual guy, you know, the actual rendition, put a little bit of makeup, like the little lip liner, and I think maybe even took a Photoshop and extended it.
Hang on. Let me see. I have a photo that Twan, my friend, sent me as a way to be like, you know, even if they did this, it would have been better.
Yeah. So, like, what I wonder is...
Did he do that?
Yeah.
He did that one?
No, that's not him. Sorry, that's not him.
Oh, okay.
That's a cosplay guy. That's someone who... But that's the thing. They were showing people who did cosplay, and they're like, that's how you do Apocalypse. What is this crazy...
See, they took the same elements. They just added and increased and made him a little bigger.
Because Apocalypse is, at its core, taller, and I would even dare say beefier. Now, I'm not looking for Mr., you know, Muscle Man, whatever, but the guy playing him, I can't remember his name.
Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah, he's just like... sort of an everyman. He might be a little more muscular, but the suit he's got on doesn't show that off.
Yeah, I know. He's a great actor, and he's in a lot of stuff coming up. He's in the new Star Wars. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
They could have done... I mean, my only justification is maybe this is a set photo. Maybe harsh lighting.
So, right.
Special effects.
They have also, not released, I guess, but leaked the trailer. The trailer that they leaked had him show up, and again, it was sort of underwhelming.
Ugh.
But his voice, too, they did say something like, well, the voice isn't necessarily...
Maybe this is his Mumra version? Maybe he's in bandages? He's going to transform and
in the Dragon Ball Z sense, this isn't even my final form.
Well, And you know that honestly, if you think back, and someone else pointed this out, that if you go back to the Quicksilver costume when we first saw that,
all the grief
from Singer,
they got.
It was like, what the hell is this crap? And sure enough,
I can tell you, right now, the costume for Quicksilver from Days of Future Past was still stupid.
Yeah.
He was good,
yeah,
and his scenes were memorable, but sure. The costume was still retarded.
What do you guys think of Psylocke? She looks pretty much like Psylocke.
I love the fact
the
that the
90s.
This movie is the 80s. She's the English chick that got turned into an Asian ninja.
Psychic ninja.
Psychic ninja?
Yeah.
She started out as a British model. And now she's an Asian. She's an Asian
secret
ninja.
Agent man.
With a yeah. she started out with a lovely pink jumper that was kind of flowy.
With the big silky arms.
With the big silky arms and long flowy feathered purple hair and a butterfly psychic telepathic imprint.
You know they're going to do that at least once.
She's Olivia Munn.
Who is fine. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. She looks... Storm, I think, looks interesting.
But I love the fact that like they went 80s Storm. So leather, mohawk, cool. Because it's set in the 80s.
Yeah.
They're jumping 10 years at a time. So you have all these 80s outfits. Oh. And then you bring in Psylocke. Pure fucking 90s.
Pure Chris Claremont 90s.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, again,
and
that...
And she's got a telepathic ninja blade
out
of a fist.
I am fine with that. I'm fine with what I've seen of Scott, of young Scott, young Jean, young Jubilee, of course. Like, I mean, all that looks great.
I hate that they're making them all, like, in the same age bracket.
Yeah, I don't love that they're mixing up my continuities and all that. But, I mean, it certainly, like, that all works. And Singer's going to be... I know Singer will do a good job. I'm not even thinking the movie will be bad. I saw that. I was just sad. The other thing I saw is the Suicide Squad leak. Trailer.
What'd you think of that?
Actually, I'm a little more interested, and only because of the angle. Like, I've never been a big Suicide Squad fan. I've never really gotten into that, but I do kind of see the value in it, and I'm kind of interested to see what happens. I don't know if it's going to be good.
So is Joker the villain of Suicide Squad?
No. He's part of the team, I think.
They're all villains.
They're all villains.
I understand.
He could be the guy who goes
rogue. He's not the antagonist of the
movie. From what I've heard, it's some... Spoiler alert, it's somebody on the team who... It's kind of like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen thing. Like somebody who's kind of helping them and putting them on different missions and then does a twist where they're all...
Kaiser Soze?
Yeah.
The twist. Like,
was it Rick Flag, I think, is the one that might be the turncoat?
Well, I don't know. Either way, it... is interesting to see a flip side, but again, super ponderous, super dark. Yeah.
But thank God we have Will Smith to tell us they're the Suicide Squad.
That was
and tell us to let's go save the world.
Always, always the best when you have an actor literally say the name of the film in their script.
Yeah, that was an awkward moment.
They did it with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And there's one scene that's missing from Ant-Man that was in the commercial.
Yeah.
Rudd sits down with Douglas and goes, and about the name Ant-Man.
Are you sold on that?
Yeah.
That was funny, though.
But I mean, they do that for trailers a lot.
Yeah, they've done that.
Ever since the infamous Twister tractor wheel hitting the windshield that ever happened in the movie.
That was like the Monsters University one where they take Wazowski out and glue all the mirrors on him and spin him as a disco ball. I was waiting for that. Never happened.
What other SDCC things? Were there anything?
Fantastic Four. I mean, because that whole Marvel panel, or the Fox Marvel panel, they had the ultimate Marvel superhero selfie.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't know that I hate the new trailer. I'm still a little kind of like, wait, what are you doing? But I mean, it basically just seems like it's the ultimate Fantastic Four.
It's the DC version of Fantastic Four. It's so depressing.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've been given these powers. We're going to be used as weapons. Not one of us can beat him. Yes, but all of us can beat him.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
Yeah.
I have no interest in saying that at all.
I just want to fix my friends.
Shut up, Reed.
Reed. Reed's way too young for me. I gotta have a little older Reed.
You like Miles Teller?
No, but I do back with the old Fantastic Four movie. Well, not the old, but you know the older.
Ian Griffith.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba though. No.
No, Jessica Alba was not.
Again,
no.
we're sitting here going, well, how are
Chris Evans,
yes. But there was no way that Chris Evans and Jessica Alba were related.
No.
And they were supposed to be related
in
that movie.
There's really no way.
Yeah.
Well, at least, and then this time around.
And this one, Sue's adopted.
I was going to say, Sue's adopted. The Storms are black.
Yeah.
And Sue is adopted.
That's kind of a cool twist. And Ben doesn't look like... I mean, that's too blocky, too weird.
He doesn't look bad, though.
He doesn't look bad.
Apparently he has no pants.
Yeah, I like that they're not even trying to put underwear on him.
Well,
it's like, you know what?
It's stupid.
He's naked. Rock dick for days.
If they had put a rock dick on him, then I would go see the movie just to see it.
It's only when he gets excited.
And then walk out when you saw it. We're done. Oh,
that'd be funny if that was
he gets a stalactite when he gets excited.
I'll just text until there's rock dick, and they go, all right, good amount. See you later.
Wow, this meshed the Watchmen for most dick in a movie.
Oh, that'd be amazing. And again, no chick list. Like chick list would have been bring back chick list for the thing. He could play a thing for days. He's
really.
He could play my thing.
He
can
play a thing for days. Hello.
Damn it! I was supposed
Tim Curry?
I was supposed to get that rim shot sound effect for today's recording. Oh, damn it!
Add it in post.
So yeah, SCC was fun. I mean, it was a bunch of stuff. The Star Wars behind the scene trailer thing, that was fun.
I had heard way back when they were planning out SDCC that Marvel proper, MCU stuff, they pulled out. They weren't doing anything. And I understand why now, because there was such a heavy DC presence, such a heavy Fox presence. Yeah. It was almost like, you
saturation.
Know what? You guys can have it.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Did you like the Deadpool trailer?
Oh, the Deadpool trailer.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was okay. I don't know that it was as funny as I wanted it to be. And the jokes were like kind of...
Have you read Deadpool?
Well,
some of the jokes are kind of like...
No, they are, but I don't know.
Say Chimichanga one more time. I don't care.
I want to know why Colossus got picked to be put in the movie.
Yeah, it is an odd
choice. Of all characters.
I think Domino was supposed to be in there too?
Wasn't Colossus also in the game?
The game?
A couple of the X-Men were. I didn't get to Colossus.
Yeah, random. Domino's going to be in
Rogue, and I think Psylocke were in there. But if you were going to pick any person, and you were going to have to do CG anyway, Cable.
Yeah,
why
know,
not
really.
Go with Cable?
But
Cable would be the perfect person.
The X-Force?
There is
X-Force. But we have no idea on which X-Force. There are so many different iterations of X-Force that you can do.
I hope that
And man, they if they did Cable, they don't. You shouldn't touch his origin with a 10-foot pole.
No.
Why not?
Don't even bother. Because it's so convoluted with what they've set up in the movies.
Would it be amazing? No, they're not going to have kids in time. I don't know. It would be interesting if they worked that into the Apocalypse movie.
Because you would have to have Inferno. Madeline Pryor would have to show up.
You could streamline
somewhere.
You could streamline
just
it a
say
bit.
Warrior from the future. Warrior from the future.
Terminator. That's
all you got to say. Psychic powers
did anybody,
somehow.
Did anybody see Terminator?
No.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about it, actually. We went to Starbucks today and somebody said, because they had mentioned it. I was like, did you guys see the new one? No, not yet. Oh, yeah. Not yet. Yet is important. Really?
I kind of feel like I have to see it, but...
I wanted to see it because Matt Smith's in it. That's
I didn't
I
see
care.
Salvation.
With an American accent.
Yeah, I need to see that.
I didn't either, but I feel like I'm okay with that. I feel like that's all right. But I really kind of want to see this just because I saw all the other ones. And
I wish I didn't see 3.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Poor Nick Stahl.
Well, apparently Matt Smith has a small screen time part.
Right.
But it's extremely pivotal to... the story.
He works for Skynet in some fashion.
Well, I would like to see that eventually. I can certainly wait to come down on Blu-ray. What movie-wise, we talked about Inside Out last time or two times ago, whenever we had our last full fest.
I
haven't seen it either.
Neither have I. Honestly, I don't want to see it.
What?
I think you should.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. It's like Pixar is kind of thrown me off. I don't know.
Are you a peak Pixar? You're past peak Pixar?
Past.
She was... we saw Monsters University.
We did, but not in the theater.
That one was sort of...
Not in the theater.
I mean,
that was the last
Pixar.
Better
than Cars 2.
I mean,
never saw Cars 2.
No, thank you.
Didn't want to. Don't like anything that features Mater as the primary vehicle.
Oh.
Sorry.
Unintended. I didn't even finish Brave. Did you finish Brave?
Yes, I did finish Brave. I like Brave.
Brave is okay. It was just their version of a Disney princess movie.
I feel like they wrapped everything up with Toy Story 3, and then I'm done with all that stuff. Unless they come out with something really, really good.
I want to see them channel full-on Miyazaki and do something fun like that.
Yeah, see, I'd rather just go and watch the Miyazaki films.
And Miyazaki.
I love them. And
trying his hand at CG, or the studio is trying their hand at CG in their next film.
It's not a Miyazaki film.
It's a short film. Actually, no, I thought it was Miyazaki. It's Hayao doing a short film with CG.
Really? Okay.
I saw a news bite about that.
I know some of the other directors are doing stuff, but I just wish Disney would buy Pixar, buy Ghibli, which they'd never sell. But, I mean, they could do it like Pixar, have somebody come in and run it and preserve their amazing legacy.
John Lasseter would jump on that at a heartbeat.
Of course he would. Well, Lasseter is like charge of all of that Disney stuff. Anyway, so...
But just remember, Rick Astley will give you every movie in the Pixar library except one.
He's never going to give you up.
Thanks for jumping right in on that one.
Yes, I saw it yesterday. Oh.
So, all right. So if we're done with movies, can I segue into a TV show and I'll put air quotes around TV show, Sense8. Okay. If you haven't started watching it yet, if you're a sci-fi fan, it's interesting at the beginning, and it gets actually a little addictive.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that it's interesting,
some
but
some people have
slow,
said they really enjoy it.
And I
have
feel they? Like I can't really they watch have. It, and then oh. next thing I know, it's four episodes in.
I,
similar
that's
what taste. I keep hearing from
I went through six episodes
that's
in day one.
Yeah.
I am 10 episodes in right now. I think.
So the one I saw today was not the last episode.
No, that's episode 10. No, God, no.
How many
there's, I think 12. Okay. I think there's 12 episodes, so I have two more to go before I'm done. But as all homosexuals will point out, the bathhouse scene.
Is that the orgy?
Oh my God.
Bathhouse scene?
Oh my God.
Is that the orgy?
Yes. What's that?
Is that the orgy I've heard about?
Yes.
Oh my.
Because, okay, so the premise is that, and it's really kind of convoluted, so I'm going to give what I have.
J. Michael Straczynski with the Wachowski brothers.
As if it couldn't get any more convoluted.
The Matrix people.
The Wachowskis.
Wachowskis.
They're not the Wachowski brothers anymore.
Oh,
no. We don't need any more fucking hate mail.
You're right. Oh my God.
Wachowski siblings.
They just call them the Wachowskis. It's just Wachowskis.
Okay.
So. There is a cluster, and they're sensates, not sense eight like the actual, but it's S-E-N-A-S-A-T-E. So these eight people are born, and then they are awakened, and they are mentally and emotionally connected to these other eight people. They can be anywhere in the world. So there's one who's in, you have London, you have India, you've got, I think it's Russia, you got two in the U.S., so they're all over. One in Japan, and they start to realize because then they're just going about their day, and next thing you know, the girl in India is hearing rain, and she's telling her dad, you know, where's the umbrella? And he's like, what are you talking about? There, you know, it's sunny out. And then as it goes on, they start to overlap, and they start to kind of figure out, and they can project themselves in. And you don't really get, like, all eight at one time, but you'll get a lot of times these two will need something and or they'll have that same emotion and kind of connect. And if I am connected to somebody, to the person in Russia, and I need them and I can project myself there, then I don't do anything. Like, I'm talking in their head and they're talking to themselves. And it's
so they
just
take over and, yeah.
So, well, and then they can do that. Yeah, they can tap into kind of each other's strengths to help in situations that happen. But so it's a little odd, but you have a lot of they're trying to be very diverse in this group of eight people. Because
yes, very much.
You've got Indian, you've got English, you've got, I think it's Russian. You have somebody from Kenya. It's an African country, I forget. And then you have the white guy cop, and then you've got a trans hacktivist or former hacktivist, as Glenn Weldon was so upset to have to use that term again. But
oh, Glenn.
But yeah, but it's interesting. And then it does kind of takes an episode or two, or maybe into the third episode before you finally kind of catch on with everything, and it gets a little bit easier. I'm still not 100% sure where this whole thing is going or what exactly is going on.
Right.
I like their side stories and they kind of with them being able to help each other, but they have introduced this antagonist into the story. And now we're trying to kind of find a way into the end of it. But
yeah, with only two episodes left, it did seem like things were starting to wrap up, but there's gay characters. Of course, there's at least one lesbian character.
Yeah. You've got the gay guy in Mexico who's an actor. And then you've got the trans woman who is a lesbian with...
Oh, that's the trans... Okay.
With Freema Aguman?
That was Freema?
Yes!
Yeah, that's right.
I told you if you didn't want to see Martha get finger-banged to look away.
I didn't get the Martha
thing.
Because
she is full-on nude having lesbian sex.
It was very explosive.
And that's not even... I mean, that was nothing.
So then after that, we had the all eight of them being born scene. So we got to see CG vulva and babies coming out.
Lots of vagina.
Water birth. Lots of natural birth. We had a C-section.
I was freaked out by the vagina birth. I was like, nobody told me about this. Everybody told me about the damn bathhouse scene. Because you at least get one penis in the show. There's one guy that's shown penis. And I heard about the bathhouse scene. Nobody told me about vagina. Nobody told me those vagina births.
Did you have the usual?
You do need to watch this then.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The C-section birth,
for everyone,
though.
Good for point. Everyone not in the know, our son will be born in less than 3 months now.
You should prepare. Do some market research.
So now I'm curious, though, because Brian's always had this weird thing where when a vagina is presented to him, he doesn't see it. All he sees is a void.
Well,
like a
in
black
fact,
bar.
All
he
I saw was a baby's head.
Yeah, just coming out of nothingness.
It wasn't so much you seeing the vagina. You're seeing a goddamn baby head coming out
baby
of it.
Head.
Oh, you saw some crowning?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like, you might need to watch that one scene, honey.
But the C-section birth.
How many episodes in do I have to get?
10.
It's the end of the 10th episode. They go through all the births.
Skip to the end.
But the damn C-section was the one that freaked me the fuck
out.
Yeah,
because
they're like, boom. Yeah. It's just like, oh.
Do you know what it looked like? Empire Strikes Back, cutting out of the what's the
thought
creature?
It smelled bad on the outside.
Exactly. It was, it was so gross. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the show is weird. Okay, I'm definitely interested
in
it.
Sounds very weird.
Okay, you can't jump.
No, I know.
I was going to stop it, but I said, fuck it. It's not at a point where it's going to be anything too bad. But you need to, if you go back to the beginning, it may or may not be something that you would really kind of jump into. But
I've heard this. I've heard from people that are fans. Yeah. They are rabid fans.
Sure,
I've never heard somebody say, it's okay. Either people just don't get it,
right,
or they're, God, you have to watch
it. I like the sensibilities that have gone into the show. I like the idea of it. I love the fact there's gay characters. I guess there's bears on the promo, but they're not in the show.
They're in the opening credit sequence.
Yeah, like
some hot bears licking an ice cream cone together.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a bait and switch if I've ever seen one. But no. What really was weird to me is the fight scene that was going on, like the gay guy, and it makes more sense afterwards thinking about it. The gay guy was like in this really sort of slow-mo macho fight to save
a
girl.
Clip of that.
And he throws like flower pots at the guy. Like,
well, because he's a homosexual actor,
and I get
who
it.
Who plays
now.
The macho like the telenovela like macho man, and then he goes into this fight, and then he like goes to punch the guy. The guy like grabs him, throws him over his back into the garden area. And when he comes up, he's holding two fucking flower pots. He's like, yeah.
But it was like almost played for laughs, but it was not a funny moment because it was very serious.
Oh,
I mean,
God, no, I laughed.
Well, we laughed, but it wasn't. I don't know if it was. I don't know. It's
just, I'm pretty sure. I think it was played to be
semi-serious,
but at the same time, like, motherfucker just came up with flower pots in his hands.
Yeah,
like, that's just
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But no, I am interested in it in theory, and I do want to see it eventually. So I don't know if it's going to get a second season, but I'm interested.
So. I think it's got a big enough fan base.
If Hemlock Grove can get a second season,
yeah, barely.
Anything
on
Netflix can get
that's
a second
true.
Season.
What I'm very excited about from Netflix is Lemony Snicket's series of Unfortunate Events.
I haven't heard they're
TV
doing that.
Show.
Yeah,
yes.
Doing
as in going
series.
Back to the beginning and
yes,
doing the whole book series?
Yes, they're rebooting and doing the whole thing. Now, I only hope they keep the same sensibility from the movie. But they're gonna they want to shoot the whole series.
Wow.
So I'm very excited about that. I don't know when that's coming out. And then what else television wise? There's not a whole lot. I mean, we're in the summer. Hannibal is. Do you keep up with Hannibal?
I have fallen behind two episodes.
Me too. Oh, I'm further behind than that. Curious to see how they start to.
That was one of the big things actually from SDCC. Hannibal had a panable.
A panable.
They had
a panable. Panable. Hannibal.
Yes.
They had Richard Armitage there, Hugh Dancy, Brian Fuller, and then...
And they didn't have Mads?
Nah, Mads wasn't there.
Oh.
But they had the main producer, Martha
DeLaurentis, yeah.
And they talked about basically what the sound of it is from their end. They're not admitting defeat,
right?
But they're definitely saying that it's going to look more like, for now, they're going to stop.
Yeah, because the contract expired on the actors.
Contract's expired. Brian Fuller's got his hands full with American Gods.
Right.
Getting everybody back together that quickly isn't going to happen, but they're still hopeful that they could at the very least do a movie.
They're still talking about doing a Pushing Daisies thing. I mean, you know, hope springs eternal, but...
Yeah. We're still waiting for the Deadwood movie to wrap everything up.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, it's... I'm interested to see how they wrap everything up with that. I have also not kept up with Halt and Catch Fire. That's another one I'm behind
on. I'm just going to wait till the whole season's done and then just
probably not a bad idea. What sucks is I'm on an email thing from AMC, and in their title they basically kind of say, "Will so and so do such and such?" And I'm like,
yeah.
"Wait, what? I didn't."
That's why I hate being following Hannibal on Facebook, because they just full on start playing the clip for the next episode in the feed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't seen this yet. Penny Dreadful just wrapped up.
Is that good? Like the first season, kind of.
It had a stronger season finale than the last season. Last season just kind of ended.
It just kind of ended, yeah.
Yeah.
This season, it's set them more, because you know they're coming back for season three.
Yeah, so I saw they got renewed.
It definitely set up season three big time.
So I wonder if when they did one, they were just thinking, well, may not come back. Let's just sort of do this thing.
There were certain things over the whole season that certain things that worked, certain things didn't work.
I don't love the witches thing.
No, I didn't like their focus was so much on it. And when I would really rather explore the other outlets that show.
And Ava Green, hopefully in the next season, she'll stop playing somebody who's terrified and scared and getting the mental shit beat out of her.
She seems to be empowered by this point.
And at the end of the season, she definitely is.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like her a lot. I like
where they ended with her character. Yeah. I really like that.
Billy Piper is at the second half of the season. She's putting in working for that Emmy. Because she is letting all of her freak flags fly.
Oh, yeah. She had the scene. I think it was the second to last episode.
She just goes for it. She's probably like the spoiler alert, the big bad for next season, along with maybe Dracula.
But now she's full on Bride of Frankenstein, right?
And she embraces it. She knows exactly what she is. And she's like, hey, I'm an immortal. I am far superior to any of these people. And then she hooks up with Dorian Gray. He's like, you're immortal too.
They actually gave Dorian a purpose and a point.
Yeah, he was kind of like, what's this
But
guy
it really
doing?
Was in the last 10 minutes of the last episode of the season. Otherwise, it's...
The whole first chunk of the season is just kind of like, oh, they're both in relationships. How nice.
Isn't that special?
Do they get a little more with the wolf man?
Oh, yeah. Josh Hartnett, you learn a lot more of his backstory. Everybody on the team pretty much learns about what his deal is.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a policeman that's chasing his identity.
Yeah.
He's got one arm. It was very reminiscent of Young Frankenstein.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice little. I don't know if that wasn't even intentional or not.
Yeah,
but
that's still funny.
It was good.
What channels?
Showtime.
Which, if you have Hulu, you can actually a big plus because now Hulu will have Showtime shows.
Really?
You can add it on for like.
I can get rid of Showtime.
It's like you can add on Hulu or Showtime onto Hulu now for like a low price of like additional $8.
You have to pay more though.
You basically tack it onto your Hulu membership.
Interesting.
So total for Hulu.
So they're not doing the HBO thing. They're doing this other thing that sort of piggybacks on.
Showtime has something, but I think by itself, Showtime's membership is like $12.
Yeah.
This one is just an additional $8 on the $8 you're already paying.
Nice.
So it's a slight discount, and it's all tied together.
I like it. Yeah. Hi, Oral.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
How's it going?
Uh-oh.
So,
but I made it.
You did. I appreciate that.
Have you seen Ant-Man?
No.
Okay. I knew he wouldn't be here for Ant-Man. That was fun. That worked out well. Like you didn't get spoiled or anything.
We're talking TV now.
Oh, okay. Well, I can sum up my view on Ant-Man. If there are two people I hate more in the Marvel Universe, it's Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne.
Well, one of them isn't even in the movie.
I've heard.
So, any other television that, Oral, you are enjoying a lot right now?
I finally caught up on Gotham.
Oh, did you?
Oh, let's not go down that dirty path again.
I finally caught up on Gotham. You know what?
Are you a Gotham apologist?
No, but I'm not apologizing for it. You either like it or you don't. But
you liked it.
I liked the whole like deconstruction of Barbara. Ugh. Like that was really cool.
Yeah. Really.
Other than that, like it was fun.
Yeah.
And they pretty much that was another thing from San Diego is they've more or less confirmed who the Joker is going to be or who the proto-Joker, that Jerome kid who killed his mama.
Yeah.
So dreamy.
Well, of course you
holy shit, the light came on. I said, girl.
I get that actor confused with the guy from We're the Millers and Maze Runner, the one who looks like a Howdy Doody.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's on Shameless.
Yeah, I've never seen the American Shameless.
Oh, and he was in The Giver. He was one of the guys in The Giver. He was like the antagonist friend.
Oh, shit. Had I known that, I would have seen that movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
That's pretty good.
I don't think anyone saw it.
I watched it, and it wasn't bad.
Thanks, Walden Media. Putting out those high-quality movies.
So, yeah, TV, I mean, we kind of wrapped that up.
Did you guys ever talk about Game of Thrones?
No, we don't talk about Game of Thrones.
Because
certain people haven't watched it.
8 seasons behind.
I'm 2 now.
And hasn't even read the books.
Does that matter now? Because they're going off book, basically.
It still can count. I mean, there's certain things.
I mean, they're still getting guidance from.
Yeah, they're still doing the major plot points.
Okay, there's still big sweeping plot points that they're.
I mean, I basically know enough to be like, oh, that happened. But I don't know. I'm going to get caught up. I am going to get caught up.
Yeah, okay.
I do want to get caught up by the next season. I say that every
got
season.
Some time.
Every season. And like poor pal, like, Pat, girl, still waiting.
Whatever.
He'll never know if winter came.
Lord.
Winter's still coming. I don't know.
It's getting closer, though.
Yeah. Winter apparently
winter
took
likes to edge, is what we're saying.
Yeah, winter's an edger.
Winter took a Viagra.
Winter's going to be coming for a while.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about SDCC a little bit. We talked about the trailers and all that. Was there anything that you noticed from SDCC comic book-wise that interested you or got you excited? I don't really remember a whole lot of comic news coming out of it, except for Vertigo. Right?
What about Vertigo?
Vertigo, like, is back with a vengeance. They have a lot of people coming on, which makes me think they redid their contracts, because that was the whole thing, keeping people away.
Well, see, here's my catch. Well, here's my thing about Vertigo. I really like Vertigo. When I got back into comic books, Vertigo was, because I had a shit ton of stuff to catch up on, Vertigo was it for me. Mm. But, like, Vertigo hasn't done anything recently. They've been claiming that, you know, we're in the midst of this big push, but we haven't really seen much of anything.
Well, the one that really caught my eye from SCCC is Gil Hernandez of the Hernandez Brothers of Love and Rockets with art by Darwin Cook. That is like two huge cartoonist, you know, legends working together on a book. I forgot what it's called, but it's got like one of these fantasy titles. Like,
and that's
Lost
the problem.
Boys
You've already forgotten what it's called. And you're supposedly very excited.
No, you're
about
right.
It.
No, and the hook was sort of like one of those fantasy type hooks. But, you know, they have Gail Simone doing a book. A lot of people who otherwise would have been, I think, at Image, and they've gotten them to sign up. So, again, Image is in this amazing era right now where they just have all these great creators and they're doing all these different titles, different genres. Sales are great. But the fact that they've announced these new Vertigo books means that Vertigo is still a player. It means it's still something.
DC, what, a few years ago, DC kind of dismantled Vertigo. They took a lot of
their
mainstay story.
The editor, what's her name? Karen? I forgot her last name. She left, and she was the reason why a lot of the creators had even done it.
Right. Because
she was the evangelist for this whole brand.
Like, they converted, like, the Swamp Thing in John Constantine. Well, it made them primarily, you know what, they're DC proper now.
Yeah, they graduated from the fringe, so to speak.
And they became more
for better or for worse. A lot of people don't really love what they did with Constantine, although the new one, I think, is really good.
The new one's very good.
Did I tell you I talked to James Tinian at Heroes?
Yes.
He's a really nice guy. I forgot he was gay or at least bisexual, but I think he identifies as gay. And, like, you know, we talked about the...
Oh, you're just putting this man's business out in the street. You're not even sure.
No, publicly.
That has
like,
nothing to do with his art.
Let's just throw an allegedly, just to be honest. Might be bi. He might...
Publicly identifies
as gay. MSNBC guy who outed Tim Cook from Apple. Like, oh, man, gay CEO. Is he gay?
He didn't come up to me like, oh, by the way. No. He, remember that beat with the guy, the bartender, who comes on to Constantine, they flirt and all that.
Uh-huh.
So, like, we were talking about that and... You know, Constantine's, you know, coming out and all this other stuff. Anyway, I'm very happy with what they're doing, Constantine. What other books have been coming out recently that you're surprised or happy with the reception or your personal reaction to? Because we talked a little bit about, like, a couple weeks ago we did our comics thing, so I don't want to go too crazy. But were there any in, like, the last couple weeks that just, you know, stood out to you?
I mean, not really. I think we might have talked about We Are Robin, which was interesting. But really with the way... Justice League. Justice League has gotten better and better. But
Darkseid War.
Mm-hmm, for Darkseid War. But like the way things...
Bat God.
With the way things kind of fell, like we've talked about a glut of stuff it's just been some really tiny weeks recently.
It has been weird. I actually, this past week, got The Spire, which I had a friend of mine on Facebook, Jeff Stokely, and I don't remember how or why, but I really liked his art for something. And what I love about this is not only do you have a lesbian main protagonist, but you're getting like a very Miyazaki-esque sort of fantasy book, but not as child. I mean, it's not Miyazaki's childish, but, you know, more adult-oriented, almost like if you took Prophet and the Miyazaki, like Nausicaa, sort of mix those two flavors together, and you made a book,
Nausicaa,
which is just, you know, kind of weird. But and Simon Spurrier, which I assume that's Cy Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's he has like his one name for this and this thing. But I mean, I didn't love his X-Force book. I thought it was really confusing and convoluted.
Oh, I thought you'd love all trash X-Force books. It was a legacy book.
Hopelesses. I actually liked Hopelesses.
Get shadier in here
a little bit. Hopeless's X-Force was really good. And then I actually also liked, what's his name?
Remender's X-Force?
Well, Remender's X-Force, no doubt.
Rob Liefeld's X-Force?
Yeah, well, Sam Humphries. I liked his book a little bit. But no, the Spire, Spurrier, I didn't care for his X-Force. But the Spire is really good, and it's only the first issue that's just come out. I'm really excited to get it. I think I even asked you, because I didn't put it on my poll, but I read a lot about it. It was really good. So the Batman thing also was kind of interesting to me this week because, again, spoilers, we're talking about comics. You're not up to date. It's not a big deal. They killed off Batman a couple weeks ago, or months ago, I guess now, before Convergence or whatever. So the new Batman book comes out, and who comes trotting through the, was that like a soup kitchen or a youth ministry? Or I don't even know what it was. Like, Bruce Wayne just hanging out, all bearded, hanging, doing his stuff.
He was allegedly killed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In an underground battle with the Joker.
Admittedly, I'm not saying this is, I'm not saying that that is going to stick for long. And I'm not saying that this is even actually Bruce Wayne. But it was kind of an interesting sort of swerve to, early on, second issue in this new Batman status quo, Jim Gordon, stashless, by the way. Jim Gordon.
Does that mean that they put a stash on the Batman suit? The Batman has a mustache?
I mean, kind of. He's got ears. He's got bunny ears. I mean, so that's sort of the new stash.
Has a fade, getting new hair did. kind of bulky.
He has a Batman suit that looks like Batman Beyond a little bit, with some gold piping on there.
Oh, so very colorful.
It's kind of weird. But no, they're just brand new era, all new Batman, all new whatever, and they trot out Bruce Wayne. I was like, that wasn't expected.
That lasted long?
Yeah. But I really enjoyed that, too, actually. I really enjoyed the relaunch of that. I don't remember a lot else this week. The book Starve came back. I know that's the second issue of that.
Starve did come out, and I love it? No, but I like it.
I think it's interesting. Did I tell you about Starve? I know we talked about it last time, but just if you didn't hear last episode, go back, listen to all our crazy comic talk. It's basically a food chef, celebrity chef.
Yes, because you said this was like Anthony Bourdain in a book.
A gay Anthony Bourdain brought back to cook for very rich people and cook things that are like dog and crazy culinary, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a comic book. This is a fairly unique topic. I don't know. Was there anything else in the last couple of weeks? Airboy. We talked about Airboy, of course, which, by the way, we had a great Airboy discussion. If you really like talking about gender identity and representation and privilege and all that good stuff, go back to the episode previous to this. Also on Comic Book Bears, a bunch of white men basically sit there and talk about the same issue. I know, shocking. But no, I felt like we did a good job discussing that.
I think we did too. I was going to apologize for sounding so militant, but then I thought, fuck it.
No, you didn't.
Fuck you all.
You were not bad at all. I actually was glad that you were weighing in on it because, again, I feel like my representation.
We need the black perspective.
No, my representation is sort of is unfortunately, especially on Comic Book Bears, it's like everybody.
Well,
but
it's all white men.
Yeah.
White cisgendered men.
White cisgendered men.
Five of them. And then at least here we've got a minority perspective.
You all should
perspective.
Be ashamed of yourself for existing. No. And not feeling bad about yourself.
I flog myself every morning when I wake up.
I do it at
that's
night.
What you're calling it?
I do it at night.
I do it in the shower with some soap. Flog myself silly.
Silliness. we glossed over a couple things like video games. I assume there's no big video game excitement going on right now. Is there?
Checking in weekly for No Man's Sky. Still not here yet.
No.
You're excited about that? I didn't know you were into
little
that.
Little by little. Here's another test footage.
Uh-huh.
Here's another explanation about what we're doing in the game.
18 minutes, I watched the IGN video.
Yeah.
And it looks great.
It looks great.
It looks fantastic. We still haven't seen anything.
The universe is becoming smaller as the game goes on, though. Like, they keep saying, at first, when they first announced the game, it was like, you have your own whole universe to explore, and it's massive. And then more recently, they're like, okay, so here's what happens when you get to the center of the universe. It'll probably take you a couple weeks, but you'll get there. It's like, you're putting a lid on my dreams.
The new King's Quest comes out next week.
I don't know what that is.
I keep seeing it show up on
Facebook.
Are
you kidding me? King's Quest? You know of it.
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
Oh, Oral.
He's young.
Is there treasure in it?
Well, no,
yes.
I remember seeing the games like way back in the day.
Right.
And I know that they exist, I never played any of them.
The new one is totally, it's a reboot, but it's not out of continuity. So it's old King Graham looking back on his old adventures and having them in a way that sort of lets you try different things as part of the storytelling.
Doesn't matter. here's your chance to experience King's Quest. It's
Cap,
an adventure game.
Cat from Nerdy Show, they spent some time with the developers that were at E3, and they played some demos. And, like, Cap and I, like, he was so excited by it. And he wasn't even, I don't think, an original fan of them. But he said, it's really fun, and it's a great idea. Like, that whole narrative sort of, oh, this could happen. Oh, this happened. Oh, I don't remember now. You know, all that stuff. So I'm excited about that. Final Fantasy 14, of course. I had 2 weeks off of my addiction.
How'd that go?
Actually, you know, you get back in, you're like, oh, I don't miss it. I didn't play it very much the first couple of days.
Just wait until you get into Heaven's Word.
Well, see, that's I'm in the awkward amazing. In-between era. I just fought King Moogle Mog, whatever, which is cute. I mean, he's a Mogul. It's cute.
Ding, oh. ding, ding,
and I'm not ding, crafting. Ding, ding. I don't craft that much.
I do have video game news. I'm finally playing Ape Escape 2.
Oh, you did? Is that the one you went with? Mm-hmm. I saw the debate.
Yeah. And so I was at a flea market yesterday, digging through old video games.
PlayStation 1 games.
PlayStation 2 games.
Oh, was Ape Escape 2 was on 2?
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm just like, do I want Ape Escape 2, which I've always wanted to play, and something lighthearted, or Metal Arms? And so Metal Arms is on for $10 on the marketplace, so I think I'm going to just buy it on the marketplace.
Yeah.
But no, it's a lot of fun. Shitty graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous little jokes. And I'm hitting monkeys with RC cars.
It's not bad. It's kind of fun, actually. I love that. Static Shock's out for Steam. They re-released that.
System Shock?
System Shock, sorry. Not Static. Static Shock's the
The Milestone DC.
Getting
banished to the lands of winds and ghosts.
They are bringing back Milestone again, evidently. That was another thing at SDCC. But
Video game-wise, System Shock. We all went and saw The Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses.
How was that?
It was very
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah.
Very
they
good.
Did all the major titles and even a couple of deep cuts, like the direct sequel to Wind Waker, the one on the DS.
Yeah.
They did some
Phantom
of those,
Hourglass.
Yeah, they did some of the stuff from that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. They did a couple of encores.
Yeah.
More Majora's Mask stuff. They did Skyward Sword, of course. Uh-huh. That was
Skyward
the closing
Sword,
number,
yeah.
was Battle of the Goddess.
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds. Actually,
okay.
Link Between Worlds.
They did
Worlds.
That one, yeah.
Link to the Past.
So some of our Find Me Alpha guys are in that. Kit was in the chorus, I saw. So
some of
that was really cool. I was like, I know people doing this.
Some of my
awesome.
Ex-girlfriend was in the chorus as
oh,
well.
Oh, all right. That's
did they do Song of Storms?
No, actually.
Then I don't fucking care, and I'm glad I didn't waste my money.
Damn near everything else in Ocarina, too. They did the fucking Hyrule Field. They did the Gerudo Valley.
Oh,
they did
I love
everything
Gerudo
except
Valley.
Song of Storms.
Boo hiss.
Did you just say some of your ex-girlfriend was in the show?
Yes.
Some of her.
Just some of her. Just from on the camera, just from the shoulder up.
Since
Wait,
they broke
which
up,
one?
She just became
you know
a
damn
shell
well which one.
Yes. I was thinking, okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this was sort of an abbreviated show. We definitely are glad that you all listened to us, and we will be back very soon with a hopefully fuller cast, or at least as many as we have here today.
Better late than never.
Dragon's right. New Spandex, there are some things coming that are going to be excited, so just hang on.
Yeah,
we'll get back to it very soon, I promise.
Okay, I've decided since Comic-Con cosplayers have already taken the nun shaming Cersei and everybody else
uh-huh.
as they walk through, I might just be Ruby Rod for Halloween this year.
Nice.
But I have to lose a lot of weight for it because, you know, if I'm going to wear black spandex with red roses.
Got to be flawless.
And I'm going to have to be cinched to the gods.
Ooh, this
green.
Is gonna be fun.
Super green.
I'm very excited for that. And if you have any very interesting questions or drag queens you'd recommend for us or special topics you'd like to hear us talk about,
sure.
Of course, you know about the Nerdy Show's Patreon. Support page that is a great place to go and suggest new microsodes for the whole Nerdy Show network. But we are also, of course, interested. If you want to earmark any of them for us, please let them know that you want to hear us talk about stuff. You can find us, of course, if you have not found us already. I mean, you have to if you're hearing this. But SoundCloud, Stitcher, Facebook, pretty much Flame On Show. Just look for it. You'll find it.
And they may have found us 40,000 feet in the air on an airplane if one of our listeners happens to be talking about us. And then they give them the Kickstarter episode to listen to while they're on their flight.
Yep.
Like Matt did.
Wait, what?
You did not see that post?
No.
Yeah, when Matt was coming back from Germany.
Okay.
Because he hurt himself.
Yes, I did see that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he was on the plane flying back from Germany.
Yes.
And he was talking to some people and about the show.
Forgot
so
about
he had
that.
The LGBT Kickstarter episode. Popped it up on his phone and had them listen to it.
Mr. Hyder, another Media Mess alumni.
True.
Hashtag Gimpy Kitchen.
I think so, yeah.
Gimpy Kitchen. Is that his new show?
That's what he always posts, posts on Facebook.
I know. You know, I don't even know what year we are into this podcast, but you guys keep bringing that sad, sad.
Okay, you know you're outnumbered right now, right? Yeah. There's a lot of media mess people are here right now.
Do you see this face? Does this face look like you can?
Well, 4 out of 5 cast members.
That's right.
I will say,
and y'all still can't do an episode.
Flame On has certainly eclipsed in terms of episodes. You know, we're getting into the 90s, right? Aren't we at like 89?
This, I think, maybe 90. This might be the 90th. The 90th in a sequential sense.
With
like
creative numbering, so we're actually above that, but we're going to treat it as gospel. So when we get to 100, you know we're going to have something crazy.
We'll have maybe all the greats come back.
All the greats.
And some of the lessers.
Oh, is Joshua flying in?
No, but I mean, we'll drop him a note.
Okay.
Well, and if you're going up to New York, please don't forget that we also will be represented at New York Comic Con Super Week with the Comic Book Bears versus Flame On event at Rock Bar on Tuesday, whatever date that is, October something. We'll have much more. If you go on Facebook, you'll find out more about it. But we're all going to be represented in some way, shape, or form, whether that be video presence, Skype.
Admiral Rock Bar?
No. It's no. Not a trap.
No. No. I'm going to be the only actual, like, just Flame On person at this fucking panel.
It's true. It's true.
Only one.
Doing this.
It's going to be the fucking Comic Book Bears. Brian is on both shows, and then me.
I think I have to recuse myself.
Think I would go. I think I got something going. When was that date?
Yeah, that's around that time. Isn't it?
Beginning of October?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what do I have?
Some plans,
some things happening. Things.
Is it bocce ball?
Coming out of the oven.
Yes.
It's about the size of a bocce ball.
Yeah, it's actually bigger.
Oh,
weight of a bocce ball?
There was.
Wait a minute.
Similar.
Maybe a little bigger.
I'll put the end of Sense 8 episode 10 on, and we'll
we can all see what's coming for October.
Oh, yeah. Sense 8's fun. You should watch that.
Oh, yeah. No, I've already watched Sense 8. Sense 8 is one of the things. Have we watched it in between? Has it come out in between?
Yeah.
I've pretty much watched everything that's come out for Netflix, and you know, I'm totally about Sensei, and I took him into my mouth like a holy communion. Best line of the entire series.
Yes.
Oh
God.
When these crows get here?
They've been here for a little bit. And what else? Flame On is all over the place. Please find us. Please talk to us. We love nothing more than hearing from you. I love seeing emails. I love getting questions for us to discuss on the show. I love us hearing just good reviews on SoundCloud or wherever. So please go check that out. And
huge thank you to Bethany Borden of Outhouse Games for our theme music.
Yes. That
our kicky theme music.
Thanks. And also, Matt Broussard, I want to thank personally for his little rendition of me.
Thank him on the other show.
He's on the other show. We thank him all the time. But
is
no,
that,
I,
is that
I
that
really
Facebook profile. You got
yeah,
going on right
I really
now?
Love the job he did. So I have to thank him. He's really
definitely good. Accentuates your high forehead.
Oh,
you are like 50% forehead.
Which is so funny because not like I'm worried about going bald. I mean, You look like you're going more bald than I am.
Because I shaved my head.
No, you shaved your head. So
I got a high widow's peak.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's not a widow's peak.
Yeah, I don't know what that is called.
A landing strip.
I was going to go with geographic tongue because you have that as well.
I
just
do.
A hairline.
Geographic
it's
forehead.
Just a hairline.
That's right.
And and if you go to flameonshow.com.
Thank you for taking it off of my hair.
If you go to flameonshow.com, you can see our new pictures.
That's true.
And we have a whole new portal that will take you to the episodes, of course, on all the various sites, but it also has all our awesome promos that Pat put together. So if you have not been to flameonshow.com, recently, it is totally different, and you should check it out.
I like how I'm giving a mischievous look. I'm just like, what was I thinking of when Pat took this picture?
Oh.
I can't figure it out, but I'd really like to know.
It was really good pictures, so we're very happy. We have good representation out there. Now we just need people to let us know that we're listening, because I love hearing that. So please let us know, whatever. And that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Is all we got?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And on that note, flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of Tops and Bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.